All right, let's go ahead and record this early on Sunday so that we can have plenty of time to distract ourselves with non-football entertainment, like The Walking Dead.
Yeah, actually, no. Well, we already watched The Walking Dead at noon today.
What's up, Houdat Nation? Thanks for joining us on the Don't Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm totally sober. And I'm glad I didn't drink today, because that would have been pretty bad. Ugh. If it wasn't the turnovers, it was the penalties. If it wasn't the penalties, it was the sputtering offense. If it wasn't the offense, it was the wide-open Eagles receivers. If it wasn't the Eagles receivers, it was something else. Bottom line is, Saints fans around the world are finally coming out of denial and admitting that we simply are but a shadow of our former selves. If we aren't Ditka bad, we're at least Hazlitt bad. And we got a few things to discuss. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times. Try to enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to it. What's your number?
I guess I'll go with a one. I didn't drink at all during the game. Absolutely none. And then the game unfolded, and then I poured a drink when it was over. Celebrate the end of the season. 5 short weeks in.
Yeah. Damon, welcome to the show. What's your number?
0.
All right. Much like the Saints are, zeros. Let's get into game recap.
I used to ride my big wheel and sell lemonade. Eat popcorn with Grandpa while we watched a parade. But now I'm only happy when I'm drinking JD. What the hell happened to me?
Well, that was fun. So, on to Pickens.
What game? So I don't know where to start. I mean, do we start talking about turnovers? Do we start talking about defense and how they were, like, terribly bad at execution? But I got to say, they hustled really well. I mean, Vaccaro was aggressive. Kakaha was aggressive. The defensive backs were so aggressive that they were flagged every other play.
Yeah, but that's every week.
Yeah. I wonder if they're taking a page out of the Seahawks playbook. You know how they were saying, like, you know, if you commit pass interference on every play, there's no way the refs are going to call it. We're just maybe 1 year too late on that, and the refs have figured this out.
Right. Well, you know, another thing about the penalties for the whole NFL, for the whole overall league, at least like last week, you know, this has been the most penalized NFL season after 4 games.
And it reeks of Goodell.
Well, I mean, I'm just trying to, you know, I'm not saying our guys don't commit a lot of penalties, but I think the referees are calling more penalties, too. Just like this early in the game, that pick play that they called on Philadelphia. If to me, I mean, last week, I think that's a result of Chris Collinsworth, you know, bringing it up last week on Sunday Night Football. And, you know, now this was
the league reacting to it.
Right. I mean, that's just my little take on it. You know, the league.
But even still, if they're calling flags on every team in every game, it's just an increase in flags. Like, they're basically calling anything and everything that looks like a penalty. We're still the number one out of 32 that
right.
Get the calls. And maybe the whole defensive strategy is because if you lack the talent or the experience, you have to play more aggressive to compensate for that.
Well, here's the thing, too, with these guys, they're stuck defending these receivers for so long because we have zero sign of a pass rush. I think the three of us would be just as good as what they're doing. Brayford had all day to throw on every single play.
Yes, he did.
We weren't even getting any pressures. You know, I mean, sacks would be a miracle to get a sack, and of course we do get a sack, negated by penalty. These guys just, you know, you can't be stuck guarding players for that long. You're going to end up grabbing them. They're going to get open. So it's going to happen. I mean, it's not like this Eagles offensive line is even very good either. They're not.
Well, they were today. That's the perfect team to get your confidence back against, and maybe they knew that coming in. And the Eagles played fired up today, too. They were aggressive.
It's a shame, too, because we had those, you know, haven't had any picks all year. They get two in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
So you think, all right.
Both in the end zone, too.
Great plays, keeping the team in it. Even though they gave up a bunch of yards, getting the two takeaways was big. And then after that touchdown, the offense scored. They just couldn't do anything.
Couldn't run.
Couldn't throw. I mean, couldn't.
Couldn't catch Colston again.
Couldn't keep any drives sustained. You know, we'd move down a ways, up, penalty, bring it back, out of field goal range, punt. And then when we did punt, that guy, I mean, he's not going to be on the team next week. I'd rather let Hocker punt.
Well, look.
Wait, there's a TV in the background.
Yeah,
turn down your fucking TV.
I'm trying to watch your football team. Look, Jeff, I mean, Jeff, you said it perfectly at the beginning of the show. It was penalties and turnovers that were the real
story of today.
Yeah. You know, I mean, come on. I mean, that was today's game.
Well, yeah, the Eagles score a touchdown, kickoff, first play, interception, one play later, touchdown. Or something like that. If it wasn't an interception, it was a fumble. I don't remember.
It might have been the Breeze fumble.
Right,
yeah.
Fumble. Right,
turnover.
Right, fumbles, lots of fumbles. Well, I just knew
Breeze gave it to him.
I don't know. You know, I guess there's so much shit. I mean, I guess you're right. You can add, you know, not protecting your quarterback in there somewhere, which doesn't help. Right, because I don't even know how many times Breeze got hit or sacked.
He got three times alone by Cox.
Oh! That's what she said.
Five sacks. Lost 43 yards on those sacks.
Five.
Killer, too. Just Breeze holding the ball and not getting rid of it.
I swear, this was like watching a Madden game. I thought we were playing Madden against the computer.
Ugh. It was it was just brutal to watch, man. Like, just the sinking feeling that, yeah, you know what? We are not good.
Like, this is it, man.
I mean, this...
This is your team.
This very well could be the end of everything.
A lot of careers. It could be the end of Peyton's career. It could be the end of Bree's career.
Well,
could be the end of Colton's career.
No. First
well,
of all,
here.
Peyton will go right here. Right here.
Okay. Yeah.
His career here.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Sean Payton, trust me, can coach in the NFL because that won a Super Bowl for the next 15, 20 years if he so wanted.
Ugh.
I mean, there were that report
ain't going
today.
No, Colston. This is the last hurrah for Colston. And then they said he left the locker room with his arm in a sling on that one pass where he fell on his shoulder and he wasn't right the rest of the game. Just man, just a sad. You're sitting there on the couch, and look, it was 10-10, or was it 10-7? It was 10-7 at halftime. 10-10 right after.
Well,
halftime.
Good. Well, even that, Jason, that was given to them by a fumble. They remember it right before half. We gifted them a fumble. And a field goal. So the defense.
They gave up a shit ton of yards, but they kept
them
in the game.
They kept
them
out of the end zone in the first half. And then the second half, all hell just broke loose.
Just,
and it was just willy-nilly.
Yeah, it was just as it's just unfolding, I was sitting on the couch, slumped, all right, well, this is. I mean, this is. I get to look forward to this for another 10, 11 weeks.
This is who we are. But look, like we've mentioned in weeks past, 25 new faces since last year.
Breeze doesn't want to hear that.
Well, I mean, it's there right in the face. You can't avoid it.
Like that big thing on his cheek. can't avoid it.
Here we go. Last week he was singing his phrases. Now here we go.
Well, I think today. I think today he still looked sharp.
But look, he looked fine.
I think he looked awesome today. Didn't you?
Considering the pressure he was under,
right.
And our lack of an attempt at a running game.
This sucks. I mean, it really sucks the fact that we have a Hall of Fame fucking QB who last week I did not agree with starting. I thought he was injured, still injured. And he was, because he didn't make all the throws last week, you know, but he did bring us back to victory. This week I thought he looked fine. He had all his throws, he had everything.
Yeah,
he didn't have time, you know.
He didn't have time.
He didn't have time. I'm not going to blame him for the two fumbles. I'm not, you know, I mean.
That's the offensive line's fault, if anything.
Right. And look, the offensive, I mean, motherfucker. I'm not trying to sit here and make excuses, folks. I'm really not. But you look at the offensive line and say, well, you know, Jari's out for God knows how long.
Armstead's out.
Streif just sucks, and I've been streaming that for two fucking years, okay? You go back and listen to the tape.
Even not just him. I mean, Jeff's boy, Lolito Burrito, I mean, he was benched at the end of the game.
Yeah?
He's not good.
Well,
Calamente didn't play very well.
I mean, like a host of, you know, Jeff's boys.
Yeah.
I mean,
and then
they suck.
Yeah. And then you got Pete
with
there.
Jeff's boy. Did you
Pete
go buy the Lolito Burrito shirt, Jeff, that we don't know about?
I didn't want to tell
you. Be honest.
No, shit. Dude, I know you're saying you're not making excuses, but that does make sense of, I mean, maybe we're not, here we go.
Offensive and defensive line.
Are we
line
not as bad today as we, I mean, yeah, it comes down.
No, we are. We are as bad. We are this bad.
Because of that, you're pinpointing why.
It doesn't matter what it's because of. We are still that.
Yes, and you can't fix that this year.
Doesn't look like it.
No, you can't, you're going to bring a...
I mean, Armstead... It definitely helps having him in there. He's the best offensive lineman we have. But our guard play is still crap.
How long is he out for? Do we know anything?
I don't know. They might have kept him out this week because of the short week, this coming week against Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. All right, so one bright spot, Willie Snead, man. How about this guy?
Well, he is the one bright spot.
Six catches, 141 yards. Hmm. And then, Jason, you did get your Cook's boner at the end.
And it's a throwaway, but I did get it.
Yeah, but again, look, with Cooks or with the receivers in general in this team, we don't have, like I said this a couple weeks ago, we don't have a number one receiver on this team. Now, I think Snead, after some seasoning, I don't know. Could Willie Snead be a number one receiver on somebody's fucking team?
Seasoning?
Ours? Yeah, a little more experience, you know.
I don't know about a number one, but I mean,
But he's a good wide receiver to have. He's a nice number two,
right,
or three.
Right.
Right.
Like we said earlier in the year, he reminds us of a Lance Moore. I don't know that Lance Moore's
a number one receiver.
Right.
No. So again, we don't have a number one receiver, and I'm sorry, Cooks.
But then why can't Snead get there? I mean, he looked great today. And Breeze hit him in stride. He hit Cooks in stride, too. Snead and Cooks are coming along. You're still missing that tall, big, Colston-sized guy.
Supposed to be Coleman.
Yeah. Who basically,
did
MIA.
He even play?
He played, but
didn't get a catch.
So, again, I mean, so, man.
Right,
I mean,
you just need that big target.
And you know, like a 6'4" stud. Fast, big, strong. So if you had him, Snead, and Cooks, your receiving core is going to be pretty solid.
Random thought. Remember the screen pass on 3rd and 22 that Malcolm Jenkins saw before they even broke the huddle?
Yeah, right, because he saw it in practice a million times too, right?
Right.
And man, what a wizard Peyton was today after such a big game by Spiller last week, getting him all of six touches today for Spiller. Like, he didn't even know how to use them. They just want to use the same little screen out, flat pass. Hand off the ball to him and see what he can do. Jesus.
Oh, yeah. It's not like he didn't run in Buffalo last year.
But, you know, I don't.
I mean, yeah, you want to use him as your...
He's our DeMarco Murray.
As your scat pack, whatever, but you still give him handoffs. We still gave Reggie handoffs. We still gave Sproles handoffs.
Right, because if they don't have any fear that he's going to run the ball, then you're not using him correctly.
Right, you just know, all right, well, he's going to go catch a pass here. Let's make sure we got somebody on him.
No, line him up as a receiver.
Look, some of the most productive plays when Sproles was here was the delay.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought Spiller, you know, was going to benefit from that same type of indecision on the defense, you know, when they saw him back there.
In the offensive play caller's head.
Well, it's time for Peyton to give up play calling duties and let Carmichael take over.
I mean,
is it really going to get any worse?
I don't know.
Is it?
Oh, no, it's not going to get worse. No, Carmichael couldn't do a worse job.
I mean, even if you did it just because the opposing defenses wouldn't know that you were going to do a screen on 3rd and 22. Yeah, Malcolm Jenkins, Jenkins knew it was happening because he knows Sean Payton inside and out. That's the go-to play. Whereas if Carmichael's calling the plays, you don't know what he's calling.
That's a favorite play for a lot of teams on 3rd and long, the screen, because it's one where it's relatively safe. You're not going to give up the ball. And if you catch it, you know, the defense is preparing to go long. So that is a favorite of a lot of teams on 3rd and long.
But as much as you like to make fun of me for not knowing anything, even I knew there was a screen pass was coming on that play.
Yay, you figured it out.
Used to be you could call a lot more plays, but now.
I mean, it's like that sums up my excitement for this game.
Sean Payton, fucking your wife.
Like what? Like the leftovers is more inspiring than the Saints game today.
So, Rob Ryan and Sean Payton were shown on TV arguing again, and there's already some rumor that how much longer is Rob Ryan?
That's just how they
stay here going to be. But hold on,
it's not Rob Ryan's fault. Not this game. I find it hard. I find it hard to be mad at the defense on this game, considering they got the short field, what, at least 3 times?
Even how wide open the
receivers
were?
Well, I'm not saying, I mean...
Look, the defense still has it
this
year.
They all suck.
Yeah.
Offense, defense, and special teams. If Sean Payton wants to get rid of fucking Rob Ryan because of today's game, his fucking offense put up 10 points. 10 fucking points.
17.
No, fuck that. 10 points. I'm not giving you garbage fucking time points. We put up 70. That's, I'd like to kick him in the nuts. Yeah, 17.
That's fair.
Our offense put up 10 points today. That bullshit at the end, you don't count that.
Well, going back to the turnovers thing, if you didn't have 4 turnovers, the Eagles
right,
missed.
Right,
how many points off of turnovers did they get?
Right, and getting a short field. No. He's screaming at Rob Ryan. That just better be because that's how their fucking relationship is. You know, they like to holler at one another.
Right. Maybe they were actually. He was actually saying, "Well, I don't know what to do either."
Right. Maybe Rob Ryan was hollering at Sean Payton. Will you stop giving him the fucking ball in the 20-yard line? And Payton, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing out here. Where am I at? I'm all confused.
Hey, leave Bill Johnson out of this. That motherfucker has to go.
Okay, yeah, all right. So, yeah,
I'm
sorry. Somebody's got to be a scapegoat.
Well, you know, are we? All right, then everybody has to. I mean, is
it you
have to blow up everything. You have to blow up everything?
You need a fall guy. Who are you going to fire this week?
Bill Johnson and
that's
going to
be our new segment. Who gets fired this week?
I mean, I agree with Jason's 2 choices just because I think it needs to be done eventually. Bill Johnson and Greg McMahon.
No, you only need one this week.
I'm going to go with Johnson.
And I'll take McMahon.
All right. Let's move on to headline. Oh, wait. No. Before we go there. Andres Pete made his first start today. What did you think of?
I couldn't tell.
Towards the beginning of the game, it seemed like he was doing okay, but then towards the end, he gave up a sack here. Maybe, had rookie struggles, so.
Right. Rookie first time starting. I mean, you know, he was just as good as Zach Strieve, huh?
Yeah.
If not better.
All right. And then Sean Payton's press conference. So a second week again that he comes out sounding like that end of your tenure mentality of just, well, you know, couldn't do anything. I don't know. And now a couple of comments from some people on Twitter even, and not directed at us, just general comments from the Saints universe. People saying Sean Payton sounds like his heart's not in it. These type of rumors. And then we know, I was going to say this for have you seen this? Have you heard about this? But, you know, the rumors about Miami and Indianapolis, was it yesterday or something that came out inquiring if Sean Payton might be a viable candidate for their head coaching job next year?
Well, they may have changed their decision after watching today's game.
That's what today was about.
Right. He's like, I'm going to show those assholes.
I'm not going anywhere.
I mean, that, and maybe it's true. Maybe it could be his agent putting it out there. I mean, he's still under contract for two more years. But that's a good chance that that has more to do with the lack of clarity on the Saints' ownership position than with Benson and the family bullshit going on.
Nah, but that's stupid.
Well, I mean, it could be real, though. I mean, if Rita gets it, he's not going to want to stick with fucking Rita.
Well, true. I don't know. I don't know if I said it on the podcast or if I just texted y'all that time. But
right. No, Sean Payton definitely doesn't want to stick with Rita. But Jason's correct. He has 2 years on the contract. I don't give a fuck what he wants. I mean, you know, this isn't college where there's a buyout.
If he really wants to go to Miami, then, hey, we'll make the trade. We'll get some first-round picks. I mean,
this is the thing I believe. He's not going to Miami. He's not going to Miami. If he goes anywhere, my personal opinion, okay, I could see Indianapolis being a, especially he's a Midwestern anyway. You got Andrew Luck there. So now here's a quarterback going into his fifth season next year, okay, in his prime. When did Sean Payton get Drew Brees? In his sixth season, okay? So I can see him maybe wanting to go, or, you know, seeing that as a job of somewhere that he can win, because he has that quarterback, and that is what you need. You have to have that quarterback. So I can see Indianapolis being a good fit. Miami with Tannehill, but Tannehill might be okay, but fuck Tannehill.
Right. That makes a lot of
sense. Look, but, right out. If you,
so
if
are
you
remember, are you saying, and maybe you're not, but the question popped in my head, is Sean Payton the kind of a coach that, yeah, that's where he's going to thrive, whereas we might be in a situation or coming into a situation where we're going to need the kind of coach who can train and teach a young up-and-coming quarterback.
And I don't know, maybe Sean Payton can. I mean, Drew Brees has skills, but Sean Payton definitely definitely – sharpened
the best
stone.
Out of him.
Right. So I don't know. I mean, Sean Payton might be able, you know, to take any quarterback and make him a fucking Hall of Famer. I don't know.
Or maybe he needs the guy to already be there, and then he can accentuate the good points rather than
and eliminate
like
the negative
reason and say. But like when Garrett Grayson, for example, comes in when Brees is out, you need to know that your coach can bring that guy from 0 to 5.
And maybe Sean Payton can. I'm not saying he can. I'm just saying if I'm a coach, I'd much rather go work with Andrew Luck than Tannehill. I don't care who. I don't care how good my skills are. Andrew Luck's easy to work with. Now, the thing is, look, personally, if any of y'all remember, in 2010 – it could have been the 2010 offseason. It could have been the 2011 offseason. They had, one of these coaches conferences, where they get to ask coaches a question. They had asked Sean Payton where he sees himself in 5 years or 10 years. And he said that he saw himself not coaching football. He said, I can remember the interview, and he said, there's a shelf life to this kind of stuff. And he goes, and again, I'm pretty sure I thought he might have said 10. He might have said 10. Because I don't see him. I don't see myself coaching football in 10 years. And then, you had this this thing that came out on Twitter about Chucky last week, how much money he's made. Chucky's making, I think, $6 million to be an announcer on Monday Night Football.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and every year there's speculation, he's coming back. No, he's not. He's making $2 million less than the highest paid coach in the NFL.
And he gets to go to bed early.
He gets to wake up late. He doesn't have to, he doesn't have to deal with the media. He doesn't have to, all that crap. And that's another thing with Sean Payton. The media, of the 32 NFL teams, I'm guessing, like how we play today, the New Orleans media ranks in the bottom 10% as far as being tough on a coach. It's not like New York or Philadelphia,
mm-hmm.
where I'm sure they eat them a lot.
Well, hold on. I think maybe because we've been a win was always like, oh, sweet, stick around. You know, you win a playoff game, oh, you can 7 years. You won a Super Bowl, you get, a lifetime guaranteed job. But now that he's raised the standard, that's why people are being hard on him today. He raised his own standard, and he's not living up to it, right? So maybe we are, and we need to be hard on him.
No. When I say that, I'm talking about the local news media. I'm talking about the local news. We barely have a local news media. I don't even know if we have a newspaper. Really, with Nola coming out two times a month now or whatever the fuck it is.
The Advocate comes out, right?
Yeah.
Right.
All right, go on. So yeah.
But anyway, that was my point. The media here is definitely it's not the scrutiny that you get, like I said, in the bigger market. So God forbid if you're Dallas,
Well, that's because
you're the greatest team of all time.
That's because if you're scrutinizing the head coach of the New Orleans Saints, then you're not invited to the interview next week. They're just trying to get an invitation.
No. It's just, that's Sean Payton's way. He's very confrontational with the media. But again, I just think our media.
Not today. No, it's a good point. But to what end?
We're talking about him leaving. Would he want to go somewhere where the scrutiny is so fucking...
It's going to be a lot more than here.
Right. That's my point, And I think Miami and Indianapolis are pretty... I'm pretty sure they're probably similar to New Orleans.
Yeah.
Indianapolis definitely would have to be similar to, to New Orleans. And Miami, I think they only speak Spanish, so I don't even know if they can interview him.
And with that, let's move to look at him tweets. All right, first tweet coming in from Alex. How about we just let Hocker punt and kick, save a roster spot? Can't be worse than Fields, right? Was Fields that bad?
Yeah, he was terrible. He had a shank of 13 yards, and then he had another shank of like 20-something yards. I mean, Hocker boomed a 45-50 yarder last week against Dallas.
I mean, then let's do it.
Well, look, this guy won't be in uniform.
Hocker might be a better punter than kicker anyway.
Well, he made his field goals today.
Yeah. You mean field goal?
Okay, and extra point. Two extra points.
Yeah.
You got that one at the end.
Yeah,
although, according to Damon, that one won't count.
All right, next tweet coming in from Life of Ty. Let's see, it says, this is the game that makes me feel like Sean Payton should go. Never thought I'd say it. It's laughable. So, here we go. People are starting to
burn
the effigies of Sean Payton.
I still think that he would remain here if Brees is still.
Are we overreacting? Are we pressing the panic button?
We're overreacting. Sean, look, Sean Payton and Drew Brees are not the fucking problem. Okay? That's not the problem. The problem, as I brought up months ago. You know, shot me down. Remember, I asked, is Mickey Loomis making bad, signing bad contracts?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the answer is yes. I think the answer really, the where we are...
Cam Jordan!
He ain't the only one.
I know.
No, right. I think really, I think it's our front office that put us more in this predicament than our coaching staff. But again, I don't know. Is Sean Payton telling Loomis
who to sign and who to...
Right, you know, and if he is, okay, fine, but I know...
No, but I'm going to keep coming back with what I said.
What the sign for, I know that much.
Before this offseason, it was this Reapish guy that was fired, and they brought in Jeff Ireland. I mean, I think it's a combination of all that, and yeah, maybe we're just... It takes a while to come out of that. It's not instant, because you still got a lot of those guys on your team.
Well, no, right, that was 6 months ago. Look, remember... Ireland was not brought in until after the draft. Remember that. But on Ireland talk, if you listen to the people in Miami,
Murray, they're like the Irish.
They, you know, they're not Jeff Ireland fans. You know, they say he's shit. You know, I mean,
well,
he just didn't happen to succeed there. And I think that's just the NFL. You know, I mean,
right. But any right, the NFL period is. You have a life expectancy at each stop along your way. You can succeed, and this is with players too sometimes. You can succeed with a certain team or organization for a few years, and then you... Damon, I think, like you've said several times, the message gets old. The message gets stale. For coaches, yeah, you got to move on. And yeah, if we lost all of that supporting the good people that worked under Sean Payton because they were good and they went elsewhere to be successful, the people that replaced those aren't as good. We're just not as good. We need to stop comparing ourselves to 2009 and 2010 or 11. This is a completely different era.
Oh, yeah, right. No, this is a different team altogether.
Drew Brees is like the only guy in Colston. Right?
And Streif.
And Evans.
So, yeah, I mean, maybe we are being too hard on Payton, because the other point I did want to bring up was last week, you know, when Kyrie Robinson got called for that penalty, and I read one of his quotes about it, and he was saying he did what he did, and they called and cut him short, and he said, I turned to look back to Coach Payton immediately, like ASAP. He was looking to his coach for... Right. Support and leadership. And to me, it said that Sean Payton does still have the team.
Oh, no.
He hasn't lost them.
No. He's not Jim Haslett, who never had the locker room. It's not that. It's not Sean Payton. It's not the play calling. We're bad because of talent got old. Like we talked about it. Talent got old, talent got traded, and never replaced. It's just that simple.
Both in the supporting coaches as well as the players.
Correct. I mean, it's just that simple. Again, do I support trading Jimmy Graham? Yeah, Jimmy Graham's a bitch. Okay? One of the few football players that I'm not scared of. You know? Jimmy Graham's a bitch. He showed he's a bitch on Twitter a couple of weeks ago. Fuck him. He's a child. What?
That's it, yeah, and we didn't talk about that on the show.
No, we didn't talk about it when he tweeted to Hakeem Hicks, you know, glad to be
great.
Out of that organization. Fuck
right.
you. Yeah, it's only the organization that drafted you from fucking obscurity. You were a fucking one-year tight end at Miami. And if it wasn't for, if anybody else would have drafted you, you wouldn't be where you are today, you cocksucker. Because look. You're in Seattle, and you aren't where you were production-wise last year, okay? Teams would have saw that you can't block, and they would have cut you, you red-headed Simpson.
Never heard anybody being called a Simpson before.
Yeah.
I yella.
Well, I think I got it from him. He said it. You know, he's a Culver Simpson. But anyway, but, you know, fuck him. He's
well, you know, though, it, what it
now
really
we know why
is,
we got rid of him.
Well, what it really proves is they got it wrong. he really is a wide receiver because he cannot block.
Oh no! Look, when he says he was a wide receiver and the team fought him because of money, you're no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt, he is a wide receiver. But I think that if you line him up exclusively at the wide receiver spot, he is not as successful as he is.
And all right.
You know.
Yeah.
You know.
All right, next week. Ready for next week?
Sure.
All right, because I don't want to get on a Jimmy Graham time, right? He doesn't even play for us. Best way, all right, this one's coming from Patrick at Mr. Cy Zappo. Best way to describe that game? Better days ahead.
Eventually we'll get to better days.
I like that he tweeted.
So that's what that looks like in print.
Yeah. All right, this one's coming from Rob Goldstein, rgold24. This one's from New York. Saints need to back the truck up and start over. The Peyton Breeze 8-year run was great, but it's over. I think we kind of covered all that, right? We talked.
Yeah, it's kind of looking that way. I mean, we knew it would happen eventually.
Yeah, it would happen eventually.
But you can't really back it up and start over in the right now, right? I mean, you got to play this out.
Well, right. I mean,
Peyton's still our coach for 2 years, more years after this. Breeze is still under contract.
Look, the number of young players on our team shows that the organization, and obviously with Peyton's approval, that we have backed it up and are starting over. You know, at least from a player.
Would you rather start over with Peyton and Breeze than wait?
No, I'd rather have Peyton. I'd rather have Sean Payton leading this team than anybody else out there. All these people, look, I'll do the same thing with Sean Payton that I do with Drew Brees. All these people who want to get rid of him, enjoy fucking Sean Payton, fellas. Okay, he brought that winning attitude, changed the whole construction of the minds of the fans and the people who work in the organization. For the New Orleans Saints, you don't just get rid of that guy. Oh, he's gonna lose the season. Choke him away. We're gonna get something better. Yeah, like who? Like Mike Ditka? Huh? Mike Ditka? Huh? Jim Haslett? That's who you want? Yeehaw! Jim Haslett. I don't know who Jim Haslett is in the country, but you know, I mean, what the fuck? You're gonna get rid of him and do what? You fucking moron! You're gonna go get rid of Drew Brees. You get rid of him and do what exactly?
Start Grayson?
Oh, gee, we're going to be a 2-win team, and we're a 4-win team right now.
And what's funny, too, is you remember the first year that the Giants beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl, they were ready to fire Tom Coughlin.
Oh, yeah, both times that he's won the Super Bowl.
Both years, after
that year.
So you can bounce back. Maybe.
Are you saying that Sean Payton needs some motivation, like, you better win or we're going to fire you?
Maybe.
No, trust me, they all have the motivation. None of them want to be fired. I mean, and they none of them want to lose.
Maybe not the whole you better win or you're going to be fired, but I do think Sean Payton, there needs to be a fire lit under him. And maybe there is, we're just not seeing it.
I'm not worried about Sean Payton. I said it last week, and when we brought up earlier in this episode, and I said he needs to start making some coaching changes for the people underneath him.
Yeah.
And he's been having to do that, but he hasn't.
Right, and he's not obligated to show us that passion. If he's showing in the locker room and they're behind him and that's fine and they got their own thing going on, then you know what? We're just a bunch of talking heads and we don't know what the fuck we're talking about.
Well, I agree. We don't know what the fuck we're talking about. I mean,
yeah. All right. Neil comes in next tweet. Well, on the bright side, I tried.
was that his tweet?
Yeah. Then he comes in with USA rugby team played 4, lost 4 in the World Cup. Is there any interest in rugby in the USA or NOLA?
I have several rugs in my house.
I don't
know. You don't have any rugs in your
house? I have no idea what that tweet means. But
they do have some leagues around here. I mean, I don't know.
Divin plays rugby, doesn't he?
Yeah, maybe not anymore, but I know he used to.
There you go. And the last tweet comes in from Zeno. So how excited are we about the Pels season opener, since everything else is poo-poo? Stinking ass poo-poo.
Well, yeah, at least there's some hope there. You know, got a generational superstar there. I mean, obviously the Saints team is headed towards a 5-win disaster season. I mean, if we're lucky, I mean, you're looking at 5 or 6 wins tops, a rebuilding effort.
This has been a rebuilding year, but the Saints just didn't, the organization, you know, didn't come out there and say it. Again, with 25 new players,
mm-hmm.
half your team is new, that's rebuilding. I don't care, you know. They're just not coming out and saying it.
Yeah, so, you know, the Saints are rebuilding / on the decline while the Pelicans are pointing up. So it's going to be fun when that's less, you know, just a couple of weeks. The first game's coming. I'm excited to see how Davis continues to progress. So at least we'll have a little bit of fun.
And let me just wrap up our look at them tweets with one quick thing to point out, too. Yes, we're 1-4. But other than this loss, I mean, we could be 4-1.
We could be 3-1.
If not for
3-2.
One
right.
or two
pretty easy
plays away. I mean, you think about all of our other losses, we could have won on the last drive. We're right there.
Right.
So,
hey, look,
we're still borderline. And look, the Eagles put it together. Let's not discount the fact that the Eagles put their shit together this week.
Well, I think we let them put their shit together more than
we
that.
We definitely helped them.
You know, but again, another thing, just, you know, for people not to remember one thing. We might be 1-3, okay?
1-4.
All right, we're not 4-0. But, you know, our quarterback doesn't shit his pants in the middle of the field. Okay, that's all I'm saying. All right? You know, our quarterback can control his bowels. That's all I'm saying.
So we have that going for us.
Right.
Which
that's
is
right.
Nice.
This is Falcons week.
Right. Our quarterback doesn't shit his pants every play.
And our stadium doesn't look like a giant metal asshole.
Right. A little bit of play, a little bit of feces doesn't come out of his butthole. He doesn't have to wear, you know, some kind of Depends for.
All right, let's move on to pick.
It's time to play the game. Put your money on the table. Come on. It's the one game you never, ever win.
All right, anyway, on to Pick'ems.
Just quick.
All right, we all went 3-2 this week. The difference was you guys took Green Bay against the Rams. Green Bay won by 14, so they covered. I took the Rams. But you guys both had Seattle in that Cincinnati game, and Cincinnati came back in the end, tied it, went to overtime, and then won it with a doinked field goal that kicked through the uprights at the end.
Cincinnati?
Yeah, Cincinnati won.
Oh, hold on.
So everybody who picked Cincinnati,
which was me, and everybody who picked Cincinnati.
But I'm so glad Seattle fucking lost, dude. Seattle should have lost last week against
the Detroit.
Detroit.
Yeah.
They should have lost from, you know, Megatron getting a fumble, and then I'm sure y'all saw the controversy at the, you know.
Oh yeah.
With the pass, Seattle should be 1-4 also.
Yep.
I said that they're 2-3, correct?
They're 2-3.
You know?
Excellent.
And they lost a single. Oh, I love it. Now, again, this does me no fucking good with my Saints being fucking 1-4 also, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But come on, don't y'all do that sometimes? Okay, we suck, so I kind of take us out of the equation, you know? And now I'm just watching football.
And just rooting against the shitty teams.
I don't want to see other people have fun. Right.
Right.
I want to see Atlanta lose. You know, in Atlanta, I guess this will be more fun to let them ride their hopes and then dash it sometimes in December and January.
Want them to get in the playoffs, score 2 points in the wild card.
Right.
I'll take a lot of glee in watching them choke
right.
in the playoffs.
Right. Atlanta not winning the Super Bowl.
All right. What's our first game?
First game.
Oh, wait. Let me give you the
rundown.
Standard version So I am still winning, but now tied in that first place at 16-9 with Dat the Twins and Hungry Hoodat, who both went 5-0 this week.
Wow.
Yeah. Then we got Glenn with 14 points, 14-11 record. Oh, I'm sorry. Alex 15-10, Wheels 15-10, Damon 15-10. So then Glenn with 14, Jason with 11, RD with 12. Neil, I don't have the early record, so if you know your total record, just go ahead and tweet it to us, because I got you at 6-8, but I think you have been playing since the beginning. I just missed it. All right, go ahead.
All right, first game. Arizona Cardinals coming off a demolishing win today against the Lions. Going up against Pittsburgh, coming off a bye week, Michael Vick will still be quarterbacking. Actually, I think Pittsburgh plays Monday night, so that game hasn't happened yet. So this game is in Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh is getting 2.5 points.
Arizona. Next.
I think I'm also going to take Arizona.
It's in Pittsburgh?
In Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's catching points.
Yeah, I'm going to stay with Arizona. That's why the Falcons aren't winning the Super Bowl. Because Arizona is.
All right, next game.
Undefeated Carolina Panthers. They had a bye week this week. Going against Seattle. Coming off that overtime loss today. This game's in Seattle. Seahawks are favored by 7.5. So don't know if Luke Kuechly is going to play for Carolina. Hasn't played for a few weeks with his concussion.
I'm actually going to take Seattle in this one. So at some point, the ceiling's going to come crashing down on Carolina, and this might be it.
Yeah, the smart money says just take Seattle at home. I'm going to take Seattle.
That's 3 for Seattle.
All right. Next game, the San Diego Chargers, who do not play until Monday night this week, going to Green Bay to play the Packers.
Boom, boom.
Packers favored by 9 points.
I'm going to jacket where the sun always shines.
You going to jacket.
Okay, so Green Bay by 9. Man, they really.
Okay, all right, Jason, this is your thing to go first. So.
All right, well, I've got burned by not picking Green Bay 2 out of the last 3 weeks, so I will take Green Bay this week.
I'm with you. Green Bay.
Yeah, I hate. Seattle's one of those teams that really should be really, really good.
You mean San Diego?
Yeah, it sounds like San Diego. Well, I'm sorry, I'm watching the Dallas.
You got Seattle Lakers on the brain.
Forever. Anyway, San Diego should be really, really good, but they're just not. I don't know why. So I'll take Green Bay, especially in the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. Although this time of year it might not be frozen.
All right, next game, the undefeated Cincinnati Bengals, again coming off that overtime win today, against the Buffalo Bills, coming off a squeaker of a win against Tennessee today. This game is in Buffalo. The Bills are favored by 1.5. So I guess Vegas thinks there's still time, you know, they're still waiting for Cincinnati to put up that stink job that's coming. Just dud of a game that they tend to do.
Well, I mean, not really. I mean, they're at home, so they should be getting – Buffalo's at home, right, you said?
Yeah, Buffalo's at home.
Right, so they should be getting 3 points at the net, you know.
Well, Buffalo only beat 10.
Advantage.
I don't know. I mean, considering Cincinnati just beat Seattle, I think Vegas – people still have a high opinion of Seattle.
Yeah, I don't think Seattle's – I don't.
Don't.
I don't know that –
But then again, up until –
the spread is based on somebody's opinion. I think it's probably a mathematical formula.
Up to 3 hours ago, I had a good opinion of the same.
All right, well, what's your mathematical choice then?
Well, based on net points, math, I am going to take Buffalo at home.
I will take Cincinnati.
Oh, I mean, for me, all.
I know.
One and a half. Buffalo's got to just win this game.
All right, I'm going to take Cincinnati also.
All right,
and now our shitty game of the week.
Here we go!
Piece of shit card. I got a piece
piece of shit car. That fucking pile of shit never gets me very far. My car.
Man, that'd be us.
Right. No, actually, Atlanta.
That, you said, maybe said we. Hey, remember we can't pick Thursday games.
Right.
So the shitty game this week, we've got the Miami Dolphins, fresh off a bye and coming in town with a new coach, Dan Campbell, former tight end in the league, traveling to Tennessee. Titans coming off a close loss today against Buffalo. So I guess people aren't really sure what. Getting out of this Miami team, but Tennessee is favored by a point and a half.
Wow. Two shitty teams. But this is a tough one. I mean, it's just...
How did Miami do, you said today?
They didn't play. They were on a bye.
Okay. So. Now, my heart tells me that, you know, a team, maybe they'll play hard for Dan Campbell and can come in and win. I don't know. I have a nickel in my hand. I'm going to flip it. If it's heads, Miami, tails,
the Titans. And it's heads. I'm taking Miami.
Right.
I'm going to also take the Dolphins.
All right. I am going to go against the grain on this one, and I'm going to take Tennessee simply to try and get some separation.
Unfortunately, I'm not getting any separation from saying that we all have the same.
Actually, I took Buffalo against y'all, too, so...
Well, yeah, you did.
Yeah. So this could be a real, you know, so...
Damon passes me up this week, or...
Or catches you.
No, you passed me up. I've only beaten you by one game, and we're...
Right, but no, but you could win one of them, but we separated on two, so you could win one, and I could win.
That is true.
We could both go 4-1.
Yeah. All right, so that's going to bring us to Saints preview. On a short week, Saints playing the Falcons Thursday at night.
We escaped with another lucky ass win.
I mean, my God, are you kidding me? Yeah, look, those cocksuckers are gonna crash and burn. Don't worry about that, okay? Because every week they're 5-0 now.
Yeah, 5-0.
I know at least three of those games they've had to make a last minute drive to come back, and they haven't been playing great teams. And look, neither have we. This is the year that any decent team from the NFC South should just, you know, go 13-3 or 14-2. Because our opponents.
But you got four wins.
Yeah,
Atlanta and Carolina could be sitting on four wins just by playing the Saints in Tampa Bay.
Well, not only that, I mean, we're playing the NFC East this year,
right,
who's terrible, and the AFC South is terrible.
Right. We're playing the two shittiest, right. It's.
Really?
Yeah, Carolina and
salt in the wound of the fact that we sucked this year, because in a year, this is the one you...
Right, this would have been a good year.
Right.
We had a decent schedule.
Right, because you could easily get the number one seed in the NFC playing, you know, with the...
And now we're going for the number one pick in the draft.
Right. So, I promise you, either Carolina or Atlanta, one of those are going 13. Easily.
Unfortunately, I think it's Atlanta.
It looks like it's probably Atlanta.
Yeah, me too, but I hope it's Carolina. I mean, you know, even though I hate
Cam Newton,
I don't hate them as much as I hate them.
So, yeah, short week. That'll be fun getting down there on Thursday.
Oh, yeah, will it?
I'm not looking forward to that. I mean, I'm working in Baton Rouge.
Oh.
Then I'm going to drive over, and traffic's going to be a bitch. I don't know where. Like, it's going to throw my whole routine off. I don't know where the fuck I'm going to park right now. I am still going to the game. I'm not going to be one of these assholes that just quits. But I'm not looking forward to the experience of getting to.
Do you think people would not... You think people are going to start selling their tickets to this game? And
they did last game.
Yeah, they did last game.
I told you myself.
Yeah, but that was for money's sake. This is Atlanta. you go to this game.
Well, I mean, I think you should, but look. Rival.
We look, do, but there's a lot of people who don't care about that.
Right. Hey, look, let me say this. And these are to all of our listeners who are under the age of 25. We appreciate y'all listening. Thank you very much. But what you're seeing now out of this Saints team, this happened before Sean Payton also on a too frequent basis.
Every year.
And
for 20 years.
You know, and look, after a loss like today, back in the day when I was y'all, well, I was a little younger, you know, like when I was in the late 80s, early 90s, and I was in, high school, a loss like today, I mean, put me in not just a bad mood, a depression.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, do y'all remember? Did y'all have
those yeah.
Days?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just
ruined.
Ruined my day. I mean, it just felt like I'd been kicked.
You talking about 80s and 90s? Damn it, this shit kind of ruined my shit in 2004.
Right.
In 2003.
All right. Well, but I mean, I just ruined
your week.
Yeah. Ruined your week, ruined everything.
Couldn't watch football of any
kind. Oh, God, no. Well,
I mean, look, and it's hard for somebody like me where at least 50, and I'm not exaggerating, 50% of my wardrobe is Saints clothing.
Yes, you may look.
I wouldn't even wear a Fleur de Lis. I couldn't wear one until Friday. So I had to go the whole week, and I wouldn't allow myself to wear it. I'd punish myself when they lost. It had nothing to do with it.
I can just remember after a loss, I would get in my car on a Sunday, and it's early at the time. It's like, 3 o'clock. Like it was today, and just driving around aimlessly, you're feeling horrible. I mean, just listening to one of the things that, not that I didn't have a stereo at my house, but I got in the car so I could listen to Buddy D. For some reason, listening to Buddy D and the Callers always made me feel better.
Yeah, that's true.
Misery?
Because you were a part of everybody else bitching.
Right.
You could listen to the other fans that validated your feelings.
Right, right. Now, unfortunately, kids nowadays, they're lucky they got Bobby Hebert, but they're unlucky because they got D. Kittmouth.
No, they got us. We just vented for everybody.
Yeah. But I remember, like I said, I would drive, just get in my car, drive around, drive to the lakefront, and just...
Damn, you drive that far.
Not that far. I mean, I get there in 30 minutes. But I would just aimlessly drive. Look, the point after show was at least 3 hours long. I would.
Pep's point after.
And gas was only 85 cents back then. Gas was only 85 cents. So you could blow through a couple of tanks and not even think about it. So
where is this going?
Up. What?
Where is this going, and how's it going to get back to the Falcons game?
Okay, well,
I don't know.
Like,
much
up,
like you driving when the Saints lost, your topic is wandering aimlessly.
But every week I came back. It was my point. Every week I came back. We lost last week. Every week sprung hope. The following week, and we have an NFL Hall of Fame, first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback, and a coach who might deserve to be there one day, playing our arch rivals. So this is the week we got to stand, we got to
get behind them,
get behind everybody. If you see a Falcons fan, flip him the bird, because they are Falcons are birds. So show them the middle finger.
The custom greeting.
Right. Hello, Falcons fan. Here's a bird for you.
You like birds? Here's one.
And give them two if you're not driving. If you're not driving, you can give them two. You're driving, please only give them one. Safety first, okay? But, I was depressed. I was upset today. But, it's like you said, talking to y'all, commiserating, it makes me feel a little bit better.
I am kind of feeling better.
And
we can put this is one game.
Right. Well, look,
we're not that bad.
Look, the season's
we're pretty bad.
Look, the season's over. Okay, I don't think I'm surprising anybody when I tell y'all that the season is over.
What?
But I don't think we are you know, Detroit 1-15 bad or something like that. I mean, next year, with a couple of players, we could this team could easily be back in it next year with a healthy Drew Brees, and Drew looked great today, I thought. So fuck the Falcons.
Yeah, fuck them all to hell. I hope we can. I don't know how we're going to stop Devontae Freeman. He had another 100-yard rushing game today.
We're not.
That's it. We're not.
There you go. We're probably not going to get any kind of pass rush on Matty Shitpants, and that's going to be incredibly frustrating to watch.
We're going to lose this game, and that doesn't mean that we shouldn't support them, and it doesn't mean that we're giving up on our team. We will lose this game. And here's why I think for those reasons, but also because the Falcons, they still have a lot of players who remember us whipping their ass every year, twice a year, for the last how many years?
Decade.
Yeah. Whereas, remember the magic number, we replaced half our team. We have a lot of guys on our team who are not part of that rivalry. They don't have that seething hatred that's going to inspire them, where the Falcons are walking into this like, we've been waiting for this moment. They're on one knee, you know, they're injured, they're crippled, and we're going to come in here and we're as strong as we've ever been, and we're going to take them to the woodshed. That's what they're coming in, and we're powerless to do anything. We're going to have to take it. We are going to have to take it.
I don't want to take it, please. I don't want to.
It's going to happen.
I mean, and to be honest, like, a win against Atlanta would make so many bad things go away and make me not care. Look, we finished 6-10, that's fine, as long as we beat Atlanta.
Both times.
You know,
long as we sweep Atlanta, right.
Right. As long as we sweep Atlanta. Right.
Within a sweep of Atlanta, that's not
right.
Bad.
I could consider our situation, I'll take
sweeping Atlanta than 9-7 and being swept by Atlanta.
I hope that somebody can show these new guys how important. I'm sure they know that this is a rivalry and it matters to us as fans, but we need them to use that fuel to rise higher.
Use the power of the dark side. Feel the power. Let your hate loose.
All right.
Strike me dead.
Are we going to be able to move the ball against them offensively?
Probably not. You also got the short peak factor.
I'm not sure why you think
we're not going to be able to stop them. We're not going to be able to stop Devonta Freeman, Julio Jones, Roddy White. Pass rush on Matt Ryan. But to compensate for that, we're not going to be able to move the ball on offense either.
Or protect Drew Brees.
Well, you're really not. No, right. You're really not convincing the guy who came into this saying, "Should I not sell my ticket?"
Hey man, I want to see that shit in person. I don't know why. I guess I like pain. And plus, being a Thursday night, those games are usually always shitty, bad play. I'm sure we'll get a bunch of penalties called on us. I mean,
but that might work in our favor, is they might be banged up because they played.
Well, we're going to be more banged up. We're already missing guys. I mean, maybe Jari comes back next week. Maybe Armstead comes back next week. At least that'll help. But it's not looking good.
All right, so score predictions.
Ugh. That being said, 21-20 Saints. I don't know how. I just have to think, like, this is the one game of the year that I really, really want going forward.
All right, Damon.
If we only win one more game this year, I want it to be this.
Oop, Damon.
I think
pouring water and not peeing.
Yeah, I can get it. I believe Sean Payton and Drew Brees feel the same way, Jason. They want to win this. They'll get the team up. The team will be embarrassed, by today's performance. We're back in the dome on the short week, so the Atlanta Falcons, luckily they have to travel for the first time, you know, or on what seems to be our annual Thursday night meeting. So, man, we suck. we really do. Yeah, I can't. You said 20. I'll say 23, the Saints will get 3 touchdowns and a field goal.
And miss an extra point.
And miss an extra point, exactly, Jason. See, I was waiting for someone to say something. Exactly. And miss an extra point. 23-21 New Orleans.
Wow. as bad as we talked about the Saints today, the two of us have already taken the Saints.
Well, I think I walked into this ready to pick a 39-17 loss next week as well.
You probably should.
And I even thought about doing it just, you know, say fuck it. And then I thought about going and say, you know what, no, 40-21 Saints against the Falcons, because why not? Nothing to lose. But maybe I'm going to go conspiracy theory that, and it was going to make me sound stupid, but I don't care. We got caught looking ahead today. That's why we played so bad, and that's why we lost. It has nothing to do with anything. And because Sean Payton and Drew Brees know that the season is hopeless, and they, too, only care about winning two games this year, so they said, fuck it. The Eagles can do whatever they want. We've been planning for this Thursday night game since the last game against the Cowboys. And with that, the Saints will win 27-24.
Oh, we are so dumb.
27, four field goals and a missed extra point.
However you want to get there. all right, final thoughts quickly.
Looking forward to basketball season, I guess.
Damon.
Our quarterback did not shit himself in the middle of millions of people.
All right, and for those of you, by the time you listen to this, The Walking Dead, new season, has started. Tweet us what you think about it. And that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Don't Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Don't Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Don't Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkey.
Bye-bye, 2015 season donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.